on our agenda is new business, and we are considering ordinance 2016-05, an ordinance adopting the budget for the fiscal year July 1, 2016 through June 30th, 2017. And do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved by Member Strand, seconded by Member Lynn to approve ordinance 2016-05. Is there any discussion?
Just a discussion.
Sure.
Well, I just had some issues with the balance sheet on the mental health balance. And one thing that I kind of looked at right here, I was wondering if the asset... Oh, shoot, sorry.
Breaks.
While you're doing that, Eric, let me read the overview so the public knows. Ordinance 2016-05 provides for the borough's FY 2017 operating budget. Since the presentation of the proposed budget on March 1st, 2016, the following amendments have been made. $180,000 in the current fiscal year 2016 wastewater budget for the Haugen Drive sewer lines may not be incurred until later in the summer and therefore has been added to the FY 2017 budget, along with another $30,000 requested for potential cost overruns for a total of $210,000. And then attached to this agenda item are also the balance sheets requested by the Assembly from the entities asking for funds from the 2017 community services budget, and those are the Chamber of Commerce, Clausen Memorial Museum, KFSK, Mountain View Food Service, Petersburg Mental Health Services, and WAVE. Petersburg Mental Health has revised their funding request since March 7th meeting from $85,000 to $75,000, asking that the Assembly consider providing the $10,000 balance of the original request to WAVE for FY 2017. You ready to go now?
Okay, yes.
Good.
So I had a question about the balance sheet on for the mental health. I was wondering if, here it says the assets are approaching $900,000 that you guys have sitting in the bank. And so that would kind of make, at least with the initial request, nearly 10%, your request would be nearly 10% of your existing bank assets. And you know, I think that the $10,000 you're offering to WAVE is a kind gesture, but I don't know if that fully, I don't know if the need is there, whereas WAVE is asking for 120% of their bank balance, and which really documents a firm need for that funding. So I was wondering if there was any information that you have to be able to substantiate the need.
Kathy.
If you're gonna, you need to come up to the mic.
I have to say, that was kind of fun.
Let's go stand in the back of the room and show. The Assembly did get a narrative from us. It was a couple pages explaining our fund balance that we've had for a while and what we plan on doing. We have some programs that we work with WAVE on, and we know that they need a funding bridge just for this coming year, mm-hmm. for sure. And knowing that it's tight for some of the departments in the city, we thought it'd be a nice gesture of us to offer to give up some of ours toward WAVE. They need it to get through the year, yes. Mm-hmm. We need it, though, for future to keep up our services the way they are. Mm-hmm.
Although there's nearly $1 million in the bank.
22 years worth of savings.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm not downplaying that one bit. You know, that's solid investment
What I can say is if the state, they don't know what they're going, you guys are all familiar with what's going on in the state.
Absolutely.
If they pull our funding just for 1 year, you'll see half of that fund balance go.
I saw that.
To be used.
And that was... I know I was a little bit, I'm a little confused about this, the behavior health totem arms budget for the proposed fiscal 17, and just all the different columns we have in here. I didn't know exactly know which one we were really using, so this right here.
Okay, what we wanted to do is, right now our accounting has been strictly the behavior health and some of the special programs that we get for the state. Mm-hmm. A couple years ago, they got the totem arms building, and this was a budget illustration to combine both our rental operations up there and our behavior health, because eventually any of those extra programs that we get money for are going to be gone. That budget is laying out, if you took our current year budget and stretched it out to the future using both the totem arms income and expenses and just the behavior health, that is what our base operating is.
Okay.
So, Kathy, if I'm reading this correctly, then what you're seeing is a fairly substantial reduction in your revenue from FY16 of $834,000 to roughly $580,000 in 19. Am I reading that properly?
Yeah, that's correct.
And if I may, I think in conversations with Susan, I think you've reduced staff. Is that correct?
We have.
I think there's also a grant that's mm-hmm. retiring.
Susan could speak more to the grants if they're even going to. I know that they're saying submit an application, but there's no guarantee there's going to be anything there. But yeah, probably 3 years ago, you're talking anywhere from 12 to 14, 15 employees. We're down now to where we have 6 to 8. We have 6 full-timers, and we have a bunch of part-timers that come in and work up a couple other positions.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Did you have a question, Bob?
Yeah, I had one for Kathy. Looking at the grants for fiscal year 16 on your ledger sheet, I went back and looked online from the state. There was 2 other grants on there, too, I believe, that don't show. Is that true?
There would have been we got a capital grant to help with the Totem Arms building. That was prior to me getting there. They were in the last year of it. There was $100,000 from Mental Health Trust. That's reflected in our current year budget. I don't know of any other programs.
Those are our pilot projects, our trauma pilot
projects. Oh, I thought, though, he said he didn't see those.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
On the grants, yeah.
Right, those are ones that... Those are like special programs that they give out, and they have like a pilot program to run. And those are the ones I said that they just said, yeah, go ahead and submit a grant, but they're not guaranteeing if those will come through or not. And those are actually what have been helping that agency carry through, along with some grants for federal money that we worked with the Wrangell community on. Those help bridge over the shortfalls we would have had.
Okay, thank you.
Are there any other questions?
I think it's kind of a milestone for someone to
ask for less.
Right. And I think we should go along with this. Maybe nobody here has ever needed any mental health help. But I think that it's a needed service. And plus, when they get their new building ready for use, it will represent a cut in rent anyway, right? So I think it should be approved.
Can we, looking at it in total, with everybody, you're thinking then, Nancy, that everything needs to be approved as is.
Yes. Well, with the $10,000.
And that instead of 47, 10,000 would go to WAVE?
Right. Isn't that what we're working on? Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then we need to find another $37,000 to help fund WAVE throughout this year?
To my understanding, they are hoping for a grant in September.
They are applying for a grant in September. They have said that partial funding would help them even if they couldn't get full funding. It's not an all-or-nothing proposition. Mm-hmm. I had recommended that we take the extra TRT money and give that to Clausen Museum as part of their request. Take the general fund money from them in the same amount and move that towards WAVE, and we could get them up to about $17,000, but I can't make a motion.
Well, I have a question about doing that. Then does that lower our grant to, what is it, 5,000 some?
Four.
Less for the museum, so that next year when we're applying and we need...
No, it's just coming from different pots of money. They have demonstrated that they have visitors that come, 3,000 visitors
right.
a year that come.
I understand that. Does it indicate that... The grant will remain. It's been, I think, $42,000 for several years, or a few years anyway. Will it continue at that rate even if there's not TRT funding next year?
I think you're asking me to crystal ball something. I have no idea what our revenues are going to be in the future.
I can't answer that.
Right.
I mean, that number one, it's up to the next assembly. Mm-hmm. Number two, you know, we look at, when we put this stuff together, we look at what's requested every year from the community services folks. We plug it in, and then we try to match that up with what else, whatever else is going on in the budget, and then when we present this to the assembly. So maybe if I rephrase it, Nancy's concern might be that by changing how we fund it this year, it always has to stay that way, and that could potentially turn into a funding deficit for the museum. There's no requirement, if the assembly changes it this year, to leave it that way versus changing it back to the way it was before. But I can't guarantee that because that's the assembly's decision.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
So let me try.
Cindy?
Sure, go ahead, Kurt.
Is Annette in the audience, or could she speak to what the minimum amount of partial funding that she could would accept so that we have a way of determining what it is that we can afford?
She isn't here today, and my understanding in talking to her was there was no minimum amount. She was happy to get whatever might come their way, and I see Susan Omer nodding in the affirmative, so I assume they've had that conversation too. Go ahead, Bob.
That's okay. Not that I've ever needed any, but you know, I feel as though that's probably just about as important as mental health, so I think we should try to figure out how we can give them as much funding as we can without compromising our own needs. So
okay.
Anyway, that's my two cents worth.
Okay.
So to move it on, I'll move that
we have a motion on the floor.
Okay. We do?
Mm-hmm.
Repeat your motion in total, Nancy.
The motion was
to pass the...
With...
Just to approve the budget.
Well, and then she mentioned the $10,000.
Right.
And then we were going to reduce Petersburg Mental Health to 75 then? Is that because that's what they wanted? Is that part of that motion?
That's how it's written up, yes.
Okay. All right, I'm just make sure I understand the rules here.
Uh-huh.
So... with the changes to it, the TRT money and the, is that, I'm including that in the motion, is that the way you understand it? Or does that happen later?
What changes to TRT?
No, I made that suggestion. Your motion was just to approve the budget with the $10,000 reduction from mental health to WAVE.
Somebody could make an amendment.
That's correct.
If you wished. And I suppose the amendment could be to take the excess TRT money. Jody, help me out here.
It was only $6,900.
There was $6,900 at the end of this last, or $6,700 at the end of this last fiscal year. There's actually approximately $15,000 next year that they'll have extra in the TRT fund, so you could fund the museum $15,000 from the TRT fund, and that $15,000 would be freed up in the general fund to fund WAVE, so their total would be $25,000 if you so chose, or any other amount, you know, under $15,000.
What's the pleasure of the assembly?
There was a motion on you. I'm not in favor of amending our motion.
Okay. Is there any other discussion?
I feel that as kind of a gesture as the $10,000 was, that perhaps we should think about funding WAVE a little more thoroughly and split the difference, perhaps. If there was a way, whether or not, we can't look into the future and figure out and base all of our decisions off of, future funding for the state, because that just looks dour for all of us. But I feel that if we were to try to come to a healthier agreement that would allow WAVE to function up until perhaps September, when this potential grant would come through. I guess $25,000, it's not quite a fiscal year. Would mental health services be willing to add more of take a slightly larger cut from their $85,000 request? Or is the very generous sum of $10,000, the top that can be donated away? I suppose I'm posing that question to you, Kathy. I'm sorry.
To me?
Or yeah, the representative of mental health.
I can't really speak for the board, but what were you thinking of? I mean, obviously could use whatever we can get.
Absolutely.
But we do want to see WAVE stay in existence.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Susan, do you think the board would be susceptible to that anymore?
I guess I have to come up, too.
You do.
You do. To like the blue cans. I'm Susan Omer. I'm the director of Petersburg Mental Health. I think that is a tough question, in that we're looking at a lot of changes that we're trying to prepare for and already making a lot of cuts. We also eliminated our health insurance plan. So although we do have money in the bank, I want you to know that we are making real cuts that have impacted us. And so although $10,000, like you said, seems like a small gesture, it feels like a big gesture for us.
Mm-hmm.
In that what we kind of decided in talking together was, we're all going to be bleeding, why not start bleeding more this year? But it wasn't like we've got tons of money, let's just give $10,000. And it was more like, we know we're in a very difficult situation, and we are going to be making huge changes in the way we deliver service, in what we can do, and an extra $10,000 going away this year on top of the other things we're going to experience means we'll bleed harder this year.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather not bleed more than we're bleeding, but that's not up to me. That's, it is up to a very difficult decision for the assembly to say, what do we value? What do we want for our community, and how are we going to pay for it?
Okay.
I wish I could be a better answer for you. Does that help at all?
It does.
Nancy.
Is it possible for me to make an amendment to my original motion?
I believe so, yes.
Okay, do we have to withdraw the first motion first, or?
I think you can make a friendly amendment to your own.
Yeah, you can just amend it.
Okay, then I will amend that the trade between the TRT to the museum and that amount deducted from their grant amount be added to the amendment, or to the original motion.
So $15,000 from the TRT funds to fund the museum, and that $15,000 added to the $10,000.
No, I don't think it's 15. Isn't it 6 or something? 6,000 something?
That's 15.
15.
Oh, is it?
It 6 was from last year. 15 is this year.
Oh, I thought what you were discussing was the 6,000 something.
You choose an amount you're comfortable with in making your amendment.
The 15,000 is the number we're talking about for future, for next year's budget. So where you were headed, the 15,000 plus the 10 would be 25 to waive, I believe.
Okay. Then I'll make that amendment.
And we need a second on that amendment, I believe.
I'll second it.
Okay. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, will the clerk call the roll?
Bob?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes. And the amended motion to fund the community services budget with the changes of $10,000 from mental health original request to waive and $15,000 from the TRT fund to Clausen, which will free up $15,000 to waive, is included. And that passes unanimously. So have we moved through that one? Okay, make sure I'm not leaving a piece out there. Did I skip something?
Is the motion to pass the budget all in that same?
Actually, we probably should vote one more time. Sorry about that. That was the amendment. Let's vote on the original.
Okay. So I need a motion to.
That motion is on the floor, I believe.
Yeah, we have it already.
That's correct.
Okay.
All right. So
here we go. Eric?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Thank you.
Ordinance 2016-05, an ordinance adopting the budget for the fiscal year July 1st, 2016 through June 30th, 2017 is adopted unanimously. The next order of business is Resolution 2016-09, a resolution declaring Saturday, May 7, 2016, and Saturday, October 8, 2016, as sales tax-free days in the Petersburg Borough. And I know that Mr. Lesh wanted to speak to this or would be available to answer questions, but we first need a motion.
So move.
Second.
It's been moved by Member Lynn, seconded by Member Castro to adopt Resolution 2016-09. Is there any discussion? Go ahead.
Well, I guess this probably question should be posed to Jody. And I was wondering how much revenue in sales tax did the city lose out last year on sales that occurred during the two sales tax-free days?
Sure. From our records, May of 2015 was $12,692, and October 2015 was $9,887.
I suppose if you think about it on the flip side, that's a lot of purchases that were made on that day, too, for all the local businesses. And
I guess the concern that I have about this is at a time when we're talking about budget challenges in the state, I think this sends the wrong message. I understand merchants have said that it's some of their best sales days of the year. It's really unclear to me whether that just shifts purchases from one day to another or it's purchases that would not have occurred otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a little bit of a problem with this, given the current budget climate. Nancy?
I agree. I wonder how many people wait till a tax-free day to make a purchase that they would have made before or after.
I mean, with the sales tax cap anyway, $72 is the top that anybody could be taxed. So any of the bigger budget items, I mean, a refrigerator for $2,500, you still need to tax $72. So, but there were a lot of purchases that were made mm-hmm. that day in order to a total $12,000 of lost revenue, potential lost revenue. You know, but that $20,000, I'm sorry, $20,000, I'm just thinking out loud here, is that the deficit that we're giving WAVE right now. So that I see where you're coming from.
Mm-hmm. Ron.
I'm Ron Lesh, representing the Chamber of Commerce. The biggest comment I hear from merchants as far as lost sales locally is the effect of the internet. People actually go into retail stores, look at the product, go home and buy it online. These are two days when we have been successful in drawing in local shoppers into the local businesses. And as you can see, it reflects a lot of sales on those 2 days. I cannot address the issue of whether it's delayed sales or not. We have no way of tracking that. That's a supposition. But I think anything you can do to stimulate retail sales in this town in the long run, not just these 2 days, the more times you can get people into the local stores, the better it is. And overall, your sales tax over time will, I suspect, continue to go up if you give some encouragement. So I hope you'll look at the long haul. A person may buy his roofing material on a tax-free day and save the $72, but a project drags on longer than buying the roofing. You go to the hardware store and buy your screws and your roofing paper, and there are sales after that. Also, if people come in from out of town, you would still potentially collect bed tax if people did stay at a hotel. Mm-hmm. So I hope you look at the long view of it. It's not just these 2 days. It's the stimulus to the economy, which in the long run, the town and this body would benefit from. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Anyone else? Hearing no further discussion, will the clerk call it? I'm sorry, Donnie.
I hope you guys don't mind that I just kind of butt in a little bit on this one. As a department that honestly a lot of times relies on the local businesses time and time again to put on activities, last week's a perfect example by putting on our Kick Butts Day. The trading union donated most of the food that was provided for the community on that day. We have sponsors for our races. The 4th of July events are sponsored by these local businesses, many of them. And that money comes into my department time and time again to make sure that we have wonderful activities for the kids, adults, for the community in general. And that's important for our community. It's important for us to get together. It's important for us to have recreation opportunities. And so I hope that the assembly will take that into consideration as well, that this is a moment of goodwill for those businesses that really do support the borough, substantially. And I know it's, close to $20,000. I get that. And it's $20,000 is a lot of money. I mean, I could do a lot of great things with that. And I get that. But at the same time, I also know that if we're not seeking to support those businesses at some point, they may not be here. And then the trading union is not able to donate food to help, a free event like last week. Or, Hammer Weekon's not able to donate a couple of fishing poles for our ducky dive that's going to happen this coming weekend. These are things that I truly hope that, as you're just about to vote, that you guys will take that into consideration. Thank you.
I guess the flip side of that, Donnie, is we would have $20,000 in the general fund that we could put in your budget to do those things. And I wish that it was easier to track the true impact of having tax-free days on local businesses, because I do recognize that the businesses in Petersburg are very generous and support a lot of activities in town. And we wouldn't have the quality of life here if they didn't. So that's not the issue at all. But I hear what you're saying, too.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with that statement. Sometimes it's not about money, though. Sometimes it's just about that feeling of, hey, oh, okay, the borough really does support me. And I, you know, when I'm constantly going in begging for money, you know, it's nice to have that little piece of goodwill. And that, so that's, I mean, I get it. This is a really, really hard decision to make. The borough is going to continue to have to make these really difficult decisions, and it's going to come up time and time again. But thank you. Thank you for making these decisions. I know they're really important.
Did you want to say something else, Ron?
Ron Lash, representing the Chamber of Commerce. This is the time when we ask for a punt, maybe. You don't think you can support two tax-free days, could we go for one rather than take it all down? Thank you.
After listening to Donnie, I'm afraid I'm going to have to agree with him. The goodwill goes a long way. And maybe it'll encourage more people to shop locally than at Amazon Prime, which I do not have, by the way. So... I'm going to have to agree with Donnie's.
Okay.
I'm going to have to agree at least for this year, but I think we really are going to have to take a look at the taxes in the future and how we're doing business, but it's going to be much broader than this, I believe, we have to look at. So I'd vote affirmative this year, but next year the rules probably are going to change.
And Donnie, I thank you for your impassioned speech. That was moving and really helped kind of change my view too. I'm guilty of too much online shopping, and I do value that the tax-free days and everything that the community has for all of the things that you need today. And and I'm always happy when I do buy things, you know, locally, because you have business owners who are friends, and people you mingle with all the time. So after thinking this out, I have to second Bob Lynn about that, about Member Lynn, about that maybe this is something we can revisit in the future, but I agree that this is a good thing for the community.
Well, now that we know that Eric Castro is the shopping problem in Petersburg. and I guess I'm inclined to say that the Chamber needs to think about it next year, but it's been a tradition that we've had for a long time, so... Mm-hmm. If that's all of the discussion, Kurt, did you have anything to add?
Well, I thought while everybody was confessing their problems with shopping, the only time I ever shop outside of Petersburg is when what I need is not available. But otherwise, I do shop in town. And I will confess, last year during one of the tax-free days, I tried to actually pay taxes because I don't agree with it. But they wouldn't allow me to do it. So I agree with Bob. I think this will be the last time I'm going to vote yes on this. And it's not because I don't support the businesses, and it's not because I don't believe that this isn't a worthy cause. But this is the only community in Southeast Alaska that not only gets your citizen sales tax exemptions, but we also have sales tax exemption days. So I mean, we're really going to have to take a real hard look at this, and I want the community involved in this conversation, because we are going to be looking at fund reductions from the state, and we are going to have to be more, self-supporting. So I'll vote yes this time around, but this is the last time I can do it.
All right. Thank you. All right. Will the clerk call a roll?
Bob?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Thank you.
And that passes unanimously. Resolution 2016-09, a resolution declaring Saturday, May 7th, 2016, and Saturday, October 8th, 2016, as sales tax-free days in the Petersburg Borough. Moving on, the next item on the agenda is the Bulkhead Loading Dock Project Contract Administration and Inspection Services. And this is Harbor Master Wallen is seeking authorization to contract with PND Engineers to provide contract administration and inspection services on the commercial drive-down facility Bulkhead Loading Dock Project for a total amount not to exceed $117,905. Do I have a motion to approve?
So move.
Is there a second?
A second.
It's been moved by Member Lynn, seconded by Member Castro to approve this project. Is there any discussion? And I just wanted to add that according to the memo, $255,700 of overage and inspection comes from harbor fees and grant if all of the addendums are awarded. Yes, oh. Member Castro.
I'm just looking at it right here, too, and it says they've budgeted one inspector working an average of 60 hours a week over the period of 8 weeks. So they would just be there pretty much just on site the entire operation.
Yes, many times these construction projects, you know, are happen around tides and things like that. So they put in longer than a 40-hour week just so that they're available kind of at the whim of the contractor.
Okay. Will the clerk call?
Cindy?
Yes, go ahead, Kurt.
This is a question for Gloria. Gloria, seeing how it's a local hometown construction company that's doing this project, don't we have some way of being able to hold those guys' feet to the fire in case they don't do this project the way it's meant to be done? And do you think it's really necessary to spend this much money at this time, you know, to have an inspector to come down?
This contract, I don't know about the local hometown part, but this requires an engineer firm to oversee these kind of projects. It's been historically, we contract with an engineer to do this oversight for marine construction.
Yes, Nancy.
Are there other inspectors around that aren't quite so expensive as the design firm?
They all will charge roughly 10% of, and that's pretty much what they're charging. That's a kind of the going rate of oversight for marine construction. These aren't really run-of-the-mill guys.
Anyone else? All right. Will the clerk call the roll?
Cindy.
Yes.
Bob.
Yes.
Nancy.
Yes.
Kurt.
Yes.
Eric.
Yes.
And the 16-067 Bulkhead Loading Dock Project Contract Administration and Inspection Services passes unanimously. The next item up is item 16-068, draft RFP for the Municipal Building Renovation Project On-Site Construction Administration Services. Manager Giesbrecht is requesting authorization to advertise a request for proposal for on-site construction administration services for the Municipal Building Police Department Remodel Project, and we talked about this at our last meeting. Do I have a motion to approve?
So move.
Second.
It's been moved by Member Strand, seconded by Member Lynn. Is there any discussion? Do you have questions? Good?
No.
Okay.
Good.
All right. Hearing none, will the clerk call the roll?
Nancy?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
All right, and 16-068, the draft RFP for Municipal Building Renovation Project On-Site Construction Administration Services passes unanimously, and I have to compliment you on the titles of your items. You're really getting creative there. They're tongue twisters. The next item up for consideration is 16-071. An RFP for public safety communication systems upgrade. Chief Swihart is seeking approval to advertise a request for proposal for an upgrade to the public safety communication system, and this includes contract administration. Do I have a motion to approve?
So move.
Second.
It's been moved by Member Strand, seconded by Member Castro to approve this RFP. Is there any discussion?
I have. I talked with the chief about a couple items, one of them being when I read the particular types of equipment, I don't know one of them from the other one, but I will say, looking at the logic of it, right at the end of the of it, I asked the chief if we could take a look at, it calls for the purchase of the equipment and then the installation of the equipment and then the testing of the equipment, but on the test, I think there's just one line for the testing part of the, and one of the things is we want an operational system when we're all done and the contractor walks away, that we don't have interference and everything else. And there's really just one line in there that taught, but I think that needs, I'd just suggest, and I'm not going to make a motion, I just suggest we take a look at that. It probably needs to be expanded a bit for what we're asking them to do. Then the second one is that has to do with, if we're going to have a contract inspector for the municipal building, then we have a contract inspector here, and the way it's worded, the two of them aren't talking. We don't have it written so that our building contractor inspector works with this one or vice versa, so that we have a hand in hand. Right now, it's running down two separate paths. And I just asked you to take a look at that before you put it out.
Definitely will. Thought I did some of that, but I'll go back through it. This RFP that the Assembly is considering right here is a combination of equipment as well as actually consulting and implementation. And it crosses paths with the building in certain ways, not in the big picture, but particularly in the dispatch area and some of the wiring components that have to go into it. And I thought I had some meetings put in here that they had to meet with the part of the team of the on-track contract administrator. But I'll go back through that and make sure.
Where you talk about the two, that's what I'm asking you to take a look at, Steve.
Yeah, and I thought I had something in here about that. But
I was thinking I had seen that as well.
I believe there is a requirement for meetings. In my conversation with Bob, if I can just jump in here real quick.
Sure, please.
I think... And correct me if I'm wrong, but your concern was with the finished product, making sure that it's up to speed.
Yes.
One of the things that I thought about after your question was that the RFP as presented will include the first year of wraparound maintenance. So any deficiencies that we identify in that first year, the fix is included. And after that first year, we need to look at how we're going to address maintenance subscriptions, ongoing preventative maintenance, dealing with upgrades, updates in software, things like that. But that first year, it's all covered from my understanding.
I'm looking at section 5.0, duties and responsibilities.
Yes, it
says the police technology contractor will be the borough's primary representative on matters related to this portion of the overall project and shall combine the necessary skills to coordinate among the police chief, borough manager, architect, and all other contractors, monitor the construction, record all activities, and manage the flow of needed information between parties, and otherwise work professionally to ensure that the indicated facilities are being constructed as designed. The PTC will meet with the Petersburg Borough Police Chief to appraise him of the project progress and issues of concern. And then there's some spelled out things. Do you want something more than that?
Yeah, what I'm suggesting is that meeting, or that person also ought to, the contract inspector for the municipal building should also be included as part of this, is what I'm suggesting.
Okay.
And I'm just saying, take a look at the wording, if you would.
Sure. We will do that.
And actually, I think under the construction phase services, the very last bullet item says involve the architect, police chief, and other building contractor as required.
I can stick some language in there that specifically mentions the contract
administrator. Okay. Any other discussion? Will the clerk call the roll?
So we will be approving this RFP as amended. With the
I don't think it was
amended.
Yeah,
there's not really amendments being put forth other than
clarification.
I'm going to clarify some things.
Clarification. Yeah. Okay. Kurt?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Thank you.
And item 16-071, the RFP for Public Safety Communication System Upgrade, passes unanimously. The next item under consideration is a scheduling issue, the April 18th, 2016 assembly meeting. With the finance and administration offices moving desks, files, computers, and et cetera from the municipal building to PIA the week of April 18th through 22nd, Clerk Thompson is requesting that we reschedule or cancel the April 18th assembly meeting due to the move. The weeks prior to move week will be busy with packing and moving as well as everyday duties. And if we choose to reschedule, it's requested that the meeting be held prior to April 18th rather than the week following the move to ensure the borough recording system is up and running properly and the clerk's office has the time and equipment necessary to put together the meeting packet. If the assembly chooses to cancel the April 18th meeting, the next meeting would be May 2nd.
If I may.
Sure.
This is more me than it is Debbie. She's being nice and trying to take responsibility for this. We will be moving our operations the week of April 18th. We have consultants, technology consultants coming in that Sunday, and the first few days of that week are actually going to basically be installing our network and connectivity up at PIA and making sure it all works, and then they're going to be on hand when we actually physically move things Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and into the weekend. So the biggest challenge with having a meeting on the 18th is all of the work that goes into creating your packets. The week prior to that, we're going to be in frantic mode of trying to make sure everything gets packed and ready to go. And if we have to put a packet together, that takes away from that. So that's the first big issue with the meeting of the 18th. The week after is probably even worse. That'd be the first day, Monday, that we're actually in the PIA space, and there's no guarantee that we're going to have everything up and running to have an assembly meeting. Plus, it would back to the packet would mean Debbie and Mindy would have to put the packet together right during the week we're moving, which doesn't work real well for us either. So that's where we're coming from. We would prefer to cancel it. I can tell you the mayor is not in favor of that. He spoke to me on the phone. He wants us to have the meeting. We're kind of stretched here. We're getting down to the wire, and it's going to be really difficult. So if we have to have the meeting, moving it prior to April 18th would be the best for us. It's not ideal. It'd be nice to not have to put a packet together and give us that extra time to get stuff done, but that's kind of the story. So
there will still be a meeting April 4th?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And this huge packet this time has covered just about everything that's going to come up for the next month. So then the first meeting in May is practically the first day in May. So frankly, I don't see any reason not to do it and have it done right.
Would you like to make a motion?
I'm so moved.
that we
just skip the second meeting in April and have a meeting May 2nd.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. It's been moved by Member Strand, seconded by Member Lynn to cancel the April 18th meeting and have the next borough meeting on May 2nd, 2016. Is there any additional discussion? And I guess I would ask, is there any critical borough business that the assembly needs to attend to that would get missed or deferred?
The approval of the budget, it takes three readings, and that would have been the third reading. To be honest with you, I'm not sure that's a bad thing. It gives us a little bit more time to figure out what the legislature is doing and potentially have to make changes to the budget based on that. So, Jody, our drop dead date is the end of June, or June 15th or something, for the budget.
Yes, but I need approval of the budget to set the mill rate at a meeting before June 15th as well.
Does that work for
May's fine.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And my only other concern is, will we have a quorum at the May 2nd meeting? and
I don't know.
I believe I'll be here. Does anybody know whether or not they'll?
I'll be here.
Okay. I'll be here.
And Kurt, do you know if you'll be able to attend?
Yes, I will be able to attend the May 2nd meeting, but I will not be here for the April 4th.
Okay. Any other discussion? All right. Will the clerk call the roll?
Kurt.
Yes.
Nancy.
Yes.
Bob.
Yes.
Cindy.
Yes.
Eric.
Yes.
All right. And the motion to cancel April 18th meeting and have our next meeting on May 2nd, 2016 is unanimously approved. Moving on to communications. Are there any communications to report? I have had none. And then the next item on the agenda is assembly discussion items, and the first one is recognitions, if anyone has any recognitions. Yes, Glo.
Well, when I came in here tonight before the meeting started, I asked Donnie if a public display of affection would be not appreciated. So instead, I decided to go ahead and thank him for all the hard work he's done all these years on behalf, and I know my fellow department heads share this. We've sure enjoyed working with him. He's been a great public advocate for Parks and Rec and all the other things that we do around the borough. So I appreciate all you've done. Specifically, I would really like to thank him for the last couple of weeks' work they've been doing out at Sandy Beach. That's a near and dear place to my heart, and I'm always encouraging him, giving him a little extra and maybe kicking the you-know-what. But anyway, they've put in loads of sand out there. They're trimming trees. They're cleaning the place up. George Rice was in today, just thrilled about some of the work that he'd done. And so I appreciate all you've done for us, and especially out there. It's looking first class. So thanks, Donnie.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to thank Trooper Cody Lister for all his work he's done out there to take care of the abandoned cars at Papke's. He's done a fairly good job. There's a lot of empty spaces. Thank you.
Well, and I just wanted to reiterate what Glo said, Donnie. I know you've been a tremendous help to the chamber. 4th of July is a huge, huge, huge effort, and you've done a bang-up job with that and also helping out with Mayfest activities. I think it's going to look pretty bare without Megan's pictures all over Parks and Rec office. And our first thought was, oh no, that's six kids out of our school system. But I do hear that the Coast Guard new recruits that are coming in this summer, a lot of them have children. So it won't be as big a blow as we anticipated, but you will be missed. And
I planned
thank you
that
very
way.
Much. All right. There was one. Go ahead, Nancy.
I think also that there have been some abandoned cars removed from the airport long-term parking. There's still one dead car up there, but it sure looks like somebody's been cleaning up there, too, oh, well. Which deserves to be recognized.
Kurt, did you have something you wanted to add?
Yeah, I did. This is pertaining to Donnie. Yeah, Donnie, representing the Petersburg Hockey Club, we would like to thank you for your tolerance. And I just hope that that person that takes place is just as tolerant with us as you have been. So thank you very much for your many years of service, and I wish you well wherever you're headed.
And I got one email today from the State Council on the Arts, and I wanted to recognize Kylie Wallace as a finalist in this year's Poetry Out Loud. Over 3,600 students in Alaska alone participated, and Kylie was one of a handful that were recognized. The top prize for Poetry Out Loud is a $20,000 prize, so it's a pretty big deal to be a finalist. And congratulations. Yes, Donnie.
We should also recognize, you know, our state champion women's basketball team.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Thank you so much for saying that.
And then, you know, also our men took second place in the state as well.
That is correct.
Those kids worked extremely, extremely hard. And
the kids,
you know,
and the coaches.
Absolutely.
Did a great job.
No doubt. Dino was actually chosen as Coach of the Year, which is also something to be recognized. I've talked to some of the young men today, and and there's some droopy faces, but the honest fact is they worked extremely hard, and they should be extremely proud of all they did.
Anything else? All right. Well, the last item before Kurt gets to make a motion to adjourn is the marijuana ordinance, and we leave this on our agenda. A letter with opinions on marijuana questions was posted on the borough's website. We've received a response from Gary Morgan, and that's been added. And I believe we have one other one, and it may have only come to me, so I'll talk to you about that later.
Okay.
The questions are still on the borough website if people want to weigh in on how they feel about the marijuana ordinances and how we craft those. That's an opportunity to have your say.
May I ask where we find them on the website? Jay and I were discussing it the other day, and he and I both kind of struggled trying to find the actual link. And evidently, I mean, we're wrong because
assembly?
Enough people have found it.
I'm looking.
Okay.
I didn't put it there, so I got to find it too.
I just would like it to make it as accessible as possible to the rest of the public, and I don't think I'm an idiot, and I still struggled finding it.
Okay. No, you're definitely not an idiot.
But we can talk up the basketball and the cheerleading squad while we're waiting for Deb to look at it.
And the band kids.
And the band kids, yeah. That's true.
Yeah. The band kids?
Yeah, they were down in
Southern
Cal.
I don't know the jazz band silver award. Sorry, I can't do this well without screwing it up. But jazz band scored something, concert band did well. I think they all had a really good time. So.
Well, and I appreciate Matt Lenhard posting pictures of the activities on Facebook, too. It was nice to be able to follow along with that.
It's not under assembly.
How about this? We'll find it and try to bring it more.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, if people have comments, they can
email. And the questions... The questions were about, should the borough have a separate local license for marijuana facilities, if they should allow a marijuana facility on borough-owned property? Should the borough allow on-site use of marijuana at a retail location? Should the borough limit the hours of operation for a retail marijuana store? The state regulations state retail marijuana facilities must be closed from 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. each day. Should the borough set a maximum number of permits within the community? And the last question is, should the borough restrict any one of the four types of locations associated with marijuana businesses? And those four types are cultivation, manufacturing, testing, and retail. And if we can't find it on the web or can't direct you to it, I'm sure Debbie will print out a copy of the questions and folks can come in and get those.
Great.
All right. Kurt, you're on.
Well, okay, from the heart of the Sitka Sacro Herring Fisheries Central, I so move we adjourn.
All right.